And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
Woo!
Yep, emergency podcast time. And I don't think our podcast last week, because it was Thursday by the time of it, it wasn't as... Like, in hindsight, things were even grimmer than we thought.
And, like, just and that, they were pretty grim at the time.
But, you know, best young players out for the year... cluster injuries in the back line, half the midfield's out, and like last week, we only mentioned it right at the end, but you know, not only was it a not very inspiring game, I was obviously very distracted by the Soldo, how conflicted I was about Soldo, but you know, our pressure was awful. Like, it was a really depressing game, and we exchanged texts before the Sydney game, where obviously after we recorded, both Dusty and Grimes went out, and so you know, we were in full doom mode. And not only did we win, it was awesome fun to watch. Like, I remember just in the second quarter watching this and thinking, I'm having so much fun watching this game. You know, even if we lose, we're having a red hot crack. And it was great. There were counter punches. You know, as Rocky said, it's when life hits you down and where you have the strength to get back up. Well, we did. Oh, football's great, Nick.
I certainly didn't feel that way when, you know, we had a really good start to the game. And were we 20 points up early on? And then I kicked the first four goals. We kicked the first goal of the third quarter, and then it just felt like, you know, much as it had against Port, like the dam broke and felt like it was just never going to stomp. Like, they kicked...
Well, they kicked six in a row.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was... And, of course, now he's injured. But there was early on, there was... Tom Lynch was hitting the pack hard.
Yeah.
And he was imposing in the pack.
We look better for it?
Yeah, it's just... I mean, it's almost like it's Tommy Hafey 1980s football. A big centre-half forward. You kick down to the line to everything else starts to look better, and it's not the stats or anything. And I just can't believe, like, I was being annoyed by the commentary, which is great. I'd much rather be annoyed by the commentary than the umpires. But he was talking about intercept marks, but they're all one-on-one intercepts from the Swans' excellent short defenders, and it wasn't... Lynch was controlling it down the line. We had an out, and it meant that it brought our crummers into the game. You know, the ball was still going forward off our half forward contests. Just the whole structure looked better. But Nank and Grundy had a great veterans sort of battle in the midfield.
They did.
And I'll come to the rucks. I've got a bit about this, which was a really interesting battle. But Bolton was finding space, and he looked great. Like, the way he set up that first Mansell goal, and he was by far the best player on the ground in the AFL ratings. You know, not everything was perfect, but it was just everything about it was so much fun. But I guess the headline is just the pressure was immense.
Absolutely.
Our young half forwards were flying around, making life miserable for the Swans, and that's how we ground them down. And we never let them in. By the end, they were... I think Rocco's already written this on ESPN, but they came in there expecting the plucky underdog. They were expecting the poor game, basically. And that they would eventually ground us down with their superior skill and ball movement. And they never got a chance to. And by the end, they were almost a bit shell-shocked.
No. Out on their feet as well. A sort of bit out of inspiration, almost, it felt like. After the Swans got the first goal of third quarter, and, you know, we were all a bit... I think about 5 minutes later, they showed a graphic of, you know, that pressure rating, which, you know, is a bit annoying that you only see it occasionally. But we were...
Yes, why don't they print it at the end of the game? It's quarter by quarter. It's... Anyway.
Awesome. Well, I'm not normally conspiracy Nick, but and you, I couldn't find inside 50 stats anywhere, because I was thinking, oh, gee, they're pretty lopsided. But anyway, but yeah, our pressure was right up in the first quarter. It was really good in the third quarter when we came back into it, along with Lynch looking like his old self. And Andy, we'd struggled to finish on a hopeful note in the show last week, but we manifest not one but two Michaeli Lafau goals, which was a real thrill.
It was quite the game. He had three touches all game.
Yep.
He hasn't found the defensive pace of the game yet. He's tentative. Like Yeats, Uze said, Yeats WWE saying at the moment. Uze said his defensive pressure is great. Well, it is in the VFL. He hasn't found it yet in the AFL.
He hasn't. He's struggling. Although he did, like, the potential for, you can see the potential for it. Like he, you know, the speed tracker thing they have on the AFL website. He recorded the fastest running time anyone has in a Richmond game since mid 2022.
Yeah, right, wow, he's great stuff.
Genuinely quick.
I did have it was in the second quarter. There was a moment where Bolton boomed along round the body kick to him that probably went about 55, and Bolton has a pretty unique ball spin at the best of times. But it was a long booming kick, and he was running back with a flight, and he was outjudged by the Swans player. And I was thinking he would almost never have seen a kick like that before in his life, except maybe in a practice game with Bolton, because VFL level players don't kick like that. You don't kick like that at training unless it's a match sim. Remember, he's old, but it is still his third game. So, second game, sorry. There is, playing key forward is hard, and you know, trying to track a 55-year-old round the corner Bolton kick in your second game is not easy, because there is no way you can train for that. Little bit of, he probably should have halved that contest, but. You know, there's still potential there. But then with his three touches, two goals, and he nailed the big one. And the beautiful
second, second goal was a beauty.
And beautiful kick from Marlon too. It was fun. So there's just so much to talk about at this game. But I feel like you and Jack Rimwald are equally as excited by Seth Campbell.
Bless.
That it was him. He got so excited with that one-handed pickup, which led to my favourite segment of play in the game, which was the kick down the line that finished with the great Swansea contest 2-on-1. That, and then Dow got the holding, got the over the shoulder decision. He was so good. I want to come back to that Dow moment, but tell me about Campbell.
I just want to put you up on a point there. That how could your favourite moment of the game not be where? Nick Vossen bowled over Papley and he was left sprawled on the ground.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But wasn't that also, didn't just after that Caps get tackled and handball inboard 25 metres to three Swans? Or am I confusing the two
bits? Might be confusing them.
But that was, because he saw him and that lost a moment. He saw him and he said, no, I'm going through. That was great.
The other best thing about it was that the ball went out of bounds and the commentators had time to reflect on how easily Papley goes to ground in general.
Yeah, I did. It was a funny moment where Jack said, went down a bit easy, didn't he? I think that was a different bit of play, but one of the commentators said, you haven't been doing this for long enough, Jack. We're used to it. we should go back to Vossi. 15 intercepts.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, his ability to mark the ball. I was just thinking, I know it's an eight, but Tom Brown, God, look at that, because, you know, you have the all-time best role model next to you. If Tom Brown can have learn two-thirds of what Vossi's ability to read the play is, it would just be, like, at his size and his frame and his disposal, I mean, he'd be an All-Australian. Anyway, it was a wonderful day for some of the Premiership heroes, and Vossi, who we all love and had some ups and downs last year, had a few brain fades. It's not vintage, it's better than vintage.
Yeah, it's true. Career high 12 intercepts for Dan Rioli as well. Had another really good game. Those two are very easily top five, best and fairest.
Was it Warner he ran down in the middle of the field ground? Because that was also in my top three favourite moments.
Yes, one of the Warners.
Yeah. Oh, that was just... He had slowed down admittedly, but like that was like such a crucial moment of the game. And that was almost emblematic of why we won the game, that kind of pressure and that extra effort. Which, by the way, Seth Campbell goes the extra mile with the pressure.
Mm. Yeah, look, he doesn't have the same impact as Morris Rioli Jr. does when he gets there.
Because almost no one does.
Because almost no one does. But yeah, he's not... he's certainly got... Like, his running stats, again, were really good, both in terms of high-speed running, but also just sheer amount of ground covered. But yeah, he could put on a couple of kilos.
Yeah. Probably, he's going to need to keep the wheels. Sorry, go on.
Morris Rioli Jr., career high, 17 disposals.
It was funnily enough, I made a little bet to myself as I closely analysed Morris Rioli's career disposals that you had done the same thing. Had you gone through his career by his game stats?
I just have a feeling for what their careers are.
Well, it was 14, but I just wanted to take you through, like, the defensive pressure was great, six tackles, yeah. It was all the best of Morris, but, you know, we've been tortured by his offensive output, and his career output is he averages seven disposals and half a goal a game. Like,
yeah.
And yet,
and he's still a bit fumbly. He's still a bit fumbly.
But, like, I don't want to overtalk an outbreakout game, because a breakout game can just be your best game. But like, just I want to take you through his last year, Nick. He had had a 14. He had two 14-touch games early on in his career.
Yep.
But last year, 11 disposals, 5 disposals, 8 disposals, 3 disposals and subbed off, 7 disposals, 6 disposals, 8 disposals. He had a sub on game. Won't count that. A 3 disposal game and subbed off. And all except the round one where he kicked 2 goals, those are all 0-goal games. And it's not like that. In none of those games were the tackle stats above 4. In fact, mostly he was averaging probably 2.53 tackles a game.
Mm.
And then he does that. But most importantly, like, he got the ball, but he did a few smart things. Like genuinely, you know, because sometimes he can run blindly into traffic.
Or be a bit fumbly. Mm.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. But... like, he ran out of traffic successfully quite a few times in that game, and I was like, oh, God. Because defensively, he'll always... If he can just average 10 possessions a game and kick a goal sort of 0.8 times a game, he's a 150-game player.
Oh, yeah. With that pace, and if he can, you know, use that to break open a game, it makes a huge difference.
It's just... There's half a brilliant footballer there, and he can just find the other half.
Mm.
And today, yesterday he found it, and it was so, like, I love him, so I'm so excited that.
Oh yeah, we all want him to. It was another good game for the small forwards in general. Actually, we mentioned Campbell, Rioli, also career high 17 disposals for Ryan Mansell, who quite unexpectedly is. Tracking top 5 in goal assists per game. Yeah, it's a bit of a funny stat, but it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, he's There are still moments where he's agricultural, but he's a lot of fun. Like he's the new George, basically.
not as good in the air.
No, I was about to say that, but you know, a lot of the, and also doesn't have the amazing brain fades that George had. He just has the
garden variety brain fade. Yeah,
yeah, like kicking on an angle and doesn't. You know, it never looks like it's going in, but that snappy, the first goal of the game was great, and just the whole you know, when you say another, we actually criticised the small forwards last week, and this week they were key to winning the game. It was great. Anyway, I loved it.
And four tackles inside 50 for Mansell. Actually, ditto for Bolter, also had four tackles, and I thought Bolter, chaos agent, was surprisingly effective, despite his low possession count.
Yeah, that's one where I totally agree that he gets in people's heads, and he's such a presence. And okay, we'll talk about it now since it's sort of randomly come up in the conversation. That Dow, okay, Nick, there's like sort of, I think it was about 3 minutes to play where Dow has that shot to goal, 55 out.
Yeah,
we're leading by 11. Been some debate amongst Richmond friends. Some person I know actually was so excited by that moment that in their head they remembered it as being a Dow goal. but
oh, bless.
So I think
I had zero expectation he could kick 55 metres.
No, but you know, like maybe he could get round the corner. But I really, like, players make the bad decision in that all the time, and it's a 55-45 thing. But he could have had the crack for the 5% shot, but then it would have been a points. It would have been a two-goal game, and the Swans get the quick rebound. Instead, he puts it in the hot spot where it's not easy to rush through, and it actually bounced off Bolter's hands. I think he did exactly the right thing, and he put the ball in a position where we could lock it in our forward line. It was playing to win rather than playing to get that extra point. So I'm not going to say that was the, you know, he deeply thought about, but I thought he made exactly the right decision in that point. I was actually super impressed that he didn't just try to bomb it in. And if he tried to bomb it, it probably either would have gone for a point or would have landed 3 metres out and been rushed through. So, yeah, I really liked that moment, which is a good segue into his game overall. So, like, as he has sometimes been in the VFL, really good on the contested ball. Was it 12 or 13? I don't have it in front of me, but four centre square clearances.
Six clearances in total, 12 contested possessions.
Yeah, and four centre square clearances, which are more valuable, and just did a lot of right things, but didn't get much on the spread, so he's overall set one. Wasn't great, but great redemption game after last week.
Yeah, and look, we've all been clamouring for Kane McAuliffe to come into the team, but it probably, I don't know. You can't have Sonzi, Dow, and McAuliffe, so you sort of pick two. So look, hats off to Dow had his best game for the season. They've stuck fat with him despite a slow start to the season, I think.
Yeah, and I thought, like, maybe he, we've sort of talked, he might have been a bit unlucky last year that sometimes about who was in front of him, and he didn't always get a game when he might have, VFL form had deserved it. But I think this year he's been a bit lucky that both Hopper and Prestia have been injured. It's reduced the competition, and he took his chance. Like, it's the sort of swings and roundabouts of football. If you're good enough, you'll eventually get a chance.
What did you think of the Rocks?
Okay. Clear the table.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to put myself on mute and go get myself another coffee. So, you talk.
Okay. So we have had history of the Grundy-Knack matchups where, you know, prime Grundy would be best on ground, and we kind of say, well, Knack was really good around the ground too, and so it wasn't a complete disaster, but it was a clear win to Grundy. Now, if you kind of go through the stats, it was a moderate
Grundy had more ball.
He did, but neither of them were amazingly... It's sort of, they're different now. If you watch them, rather than crashing into them, Grundy really holds back. He'll only do a big jump once or twice a quarter. And he was actually very respectful of Nank. He tried to sort of stand with him and wrestle him a lot. It's an older Grundy. But it really suited Nank, because Nank was just sort of... Grundy couldn't use his bigger leap and height in the ruck as much as he used to. So it wasn't a coincidence that all the clearance stats were pretty tied. Well, it was a contributor to the fact that the clearance stats were tied. And although Grundy had a mild points victory, I was really impressed with Nank's game. He didn't let... neither of them were particularly influential in the game, but Grundy's a potential match winner for them. And he was not in that game. I thought his round-the-ground disposals weren't very effective.
No, and, there was a bit of empty calories, I thought, in his round-the-ground stuff.
Yeah, and I think overall that the sort of the clearance battle with not a great midfield for us, like not exactly our age choice, or through T2, we've gone far too long without talking about Tim Taranto, but I thought it was a real... Nank is in the best... late career, well, it's not late, but middle-late career Nank is the best Nank I've seen. And that was one of his best games against Grundy. Like, any time Grundy... We've all seen the Grundy pushing Nank aside and kicking the goal, right?
Yep.
We've been there. We've seen that. And none of that happened. In fact, none of it came remotely close. In the most important, crucial contest of the game, Nank almost won the clearance himself. He unfortunately got tackled just at the wrong moment. But, yeah, I really like Nank's game, even though there's no statistical chart where I can prove to you that Nank was awesome. But just watching it and the presence he gave, I was super impressed.
No, I agree. I thought... Nank had more of a physical presence, and yeah, that Grundy's not as much of a freak athlete as he was. So yeah, I didn't think their matchup was super decisive. Look, you mentioned
actually, for what it's worth, Nank won a higher percentage of his taps. Grundy had more hit-outs to advantage. Sorry, go on.
You mentioned Taranto, and Taranto was very good, you know, 35 disposals, a well-timed goal, 6 tackles, 8 clearances, nearly 600 metres gained, so he was very industrious, his disposal, you know, not, you wouldn't describe it as silky, but effective.
Well, it was at 75%, which is pretty good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it was... he had 24 uncontested disposals, so it should be better than usual, where if he's having less scrub kicks out of a pack. But Shea Bolton had nearly 700 metres gained. Like, that was 10 score involvements, you know, a couple of goals... 8 inside 50s, like, ooh, and it wasn't a perfect game. He had the odd mistake, but it was very good.
Oh, that incredible bad luck when he got that kick smothered and it went straight to the Swans, who'd given up on the clearance and were just standing out the back of the centre square, and it went straight to them. I mean, that ball could have gone anywhere, and it went to the very worst possible spot. No, he was brilliant.
And he was close to some other brilliant moments as well.
And kicked the ceiling goal, and actually would have set up the... Had the game gone another 10 seconds, he would have sealed up the most satisfying game the goal as Morris, I think. Who was next to him? Was it Seth Campbell or I think it was Sonzi who was next to him. Would have... If the game had gone 5 more seconds, they would have banged a goal in, walked a goal in... in front of the punt road end and sealed the game. But yeah, he was just... Sorry, actually, that kick went about 70 metres and counted to his metres gained, so did help his stat line. It was great. He was best on ground on the AFL ratings, as you kind of expect, given that game. It was wonderful. And pleasure to watch.
Pleasure to watch, yeah. Better game from Marlon Pickett, I thought. Again, not always perfect, but worked extremely hard.
No, absolutely. He's the one. Well, we were debating this offline, but to me, for Caps was okay. He's a veteran in the way he covers the ground and gives defensive cover. He's not a veteran in the way he acts sometimes, whereas Mullen is a veteran in every sense of the way. And that blind turn, I think we all, it was a lovely flashback for those of us.
Sunny day at the MCG.
There was also something I wanted to say about Rioli. He gave away a really bad inboard kick early in the game, and he'd done that before earlier in the season too, but he didn't stop doing it. It's just him, or the way he's been coached is just have a crack, son. Now, Nick, I was just wanting to make a point about the overall tactics of the game and how Uze's changing us a little bit. Firstly, minor point, but really important for those who know Richmond's sort of the history of Richmond is that our standing on the mark has got much more modern and contemporary. We stand on the mark far less than Dimmer had started to do it, but then we did in the Dimmer era, and we do much more zone defence, which is the perfect thing to do against a team that likes to zone. Sydney does not want that extra 5 metres to... You know, you don't stand on the mark, you give up a bit of meterage because the player can run more forward. But Sydney doesn't want to do that. They don't want to bang down the line. They want to chip and cut you off, destroy you with the ankles. And we did that. I really liked the way we were playing that zone defence. It showed a lot of coaching and thought had gone into it. And the other thing is, Nick, just out of interest, what do you reckon the last season was where we had a positive marks differential on average over the course of the season?
From the question, it's been a while. I don't know, 2016?
Nice one. It was 2016.
Unwatchable.
It wasn't a huge difference this week. We were plus 11, but you can see the game plan starting to change and evolve. We were prepared to chip around the
back line. We were slow when we weren't fast.
Yeah, and there were moments where you could actually see Blossy knew exactly where he was going to kick, but he waited 10 seconds to do it. There's clearly, they think that they've deliberately decided to be methodical through parts of the ground. And it's not always going to work, and, you know, we still have, like, that's not the ideal game plan for Camden McIntosh. We evolved and played a style that suited us, but it's nice to see the evolution coming through and us winning in a different way. So that was a well-coached game by Uze. Not the game plan, the way we gutted it out, the way he motivated his younger players, that was, you know, it could get, last week was obviously not a great game for pressure, but that was a really good coaching game.
No, good point. Liam Baker, good again. Not sure we need to say very much.
Probably the most interesting thing was Uze's comments afterwards in the press conference, where he said, look, we know there's a chance he may leave, and that's okay, but we'll do everything we can to keep him, and we just want to enjoy his footy, which... I don't know, he's almost open... He's really open in press conferences. You know,
Morris Rioli, if that'll last.
Yeah, but he didn't shut the question down or sort of pretend that everything's going to be nice like coaches often do when it comes to contract talks. And when he talked about Rioli, he was very open about his need to improve his attacking skills. There was one or two other players where I remember thinking, well, that's almost like something we would say rather than, you know, positive, but still acknowledging a fault, whereas most coaches are sort of like, you know, build the wall, don't say anything that's not blandly positive. Interesting comments, but Baker, but yeah, it's, we'll just have to see it goes.
It's true. Morris Rioli, Ryan Mansell, Seth Campbell also had a career high in disposals, although, you know, game on before.
But first win, though. Not to be under...
First win. No.
First win for three...
Yeah, no, that was very nice of them when they got Uze, Lafau, and Brown in the middle. But Ben Miller also had a career high. So you've got four young guys who've been around for a little while, all playing good games. And I don't think that that's a not to be overlooked reason why we won.
It could all go bad next week.
Oh, of course. But, yeah.
But absolutely. Ben Miller's had two really solid games in the back line.
Yeah. I mentioned last week he had a really good last VFL practice game. So, yeah, he's playing well.
And he is really good with the ball. Like, it was noticeable in the last kick out of the game when the Swans had just drawn within 5 points.
Yeah.
He very cleverly waited until and made a little lead into the pocket, which took the mark, wasted sort of 10 seconds, and then he went out on his arc, and he waited the last possible moment to kick it, which takes a lot of guts in that moment.
Yep.
And kicked it long with a long penetrating kick. He is confident and good with the ball.
I feel
in a way that
the difference between 45 and 46 makes quite a lot of difference to how confident I feel about their kicking.
Thank you. That was exactly where I was going to. And that's partly all those years playing VFL footy has paid off for Ben Miller.
Yeah.
He has learnt tricks. Right. I wanted to talk about Tom Brown while we're in the back line.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, he's sizzling disposal, a couple of cracking kicks, five intercepts. Small sample size, but easily his best kick. Actually, the game where and he had a beautiful intercept mark, which was unfortunately was neutralised by a yank free kick. But it was the most excited I've ever been watching him, even on a 10 disposal game in VFL or AFL. But his frame looks big. Like, he looks like he could be something if he can just. It hasn't clicked yet. But that was, to me, by far his best game in the AFL, but something to get excited. I'm excited.
I was probably more ho-hum, just because I've seen him be very good and just run the show at VFL level. So I do, and look, it's VFL, so it's unrealistic to think he's going to be able to play above the level at AFL the way he does there, but yeah, he's there's quite a bit there.
There's been a few games where we've watched the same VFL game, and I have come away less high than you. But which I didn't say on the pod because it's young and VFL games are highly subjective, and you don't have stats. Well, especially if it's a practice game. But yeah, there was just I came away excited from that game because he wasn't playing the distributor role, because sometimes in the VFL, because he's a nice kick, he gets a lot of cheapies, but he does not play that role in the AFL. We don't use him as a release player. He has to earn his kicks, and he didn't get many of them, but he stuck to his man. And when he did get them, he really used them. So I was impressed by that.
It was a good game. I don't think I had anything else.
I think we've mentioned practically every player.
Practically every player, yeah. We haven't talked about Nathan Broad.
was off in the key moment, so yeah. It was just a lot of fun. Mentally going through.
Sonsy had some nice moments, if not having that much impact.
And of course, because it's Richmond, Richmond 2024 and 23, we had to have a serious injury to a good player.
I know.
God damn it. But. It's pretty grim when you're thinking, oh, thank God it's not the foot.
Well, true.
Hamstring, yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's lower leg hamstring, which could be all sorts of things. So we'll just wait. Yeah. And he was funny after it. I don't think, has he had a hamstring before?
Possibly. Don't know.
Because he didn't come off straight away, and then afterwards he said, oh, maybe, I think it's a hamstring, but I'm not sure. It seems a funny injury if I...
Look, it'll probably... We'll see. The way our year is going, it'll probably require an amputation.
exactly. But yeah, I just hope, just so grateful, because he's, you know, you look at Hawkins at Geelong, and you just think, God, just a few more years of this, it's so,
yeah,
the football's so much better, our team's so much better with him playing that role.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the VFL had a good win as well.
Yeah, look, a difference in philosophy, and it reflects where their AFL senior team, but you know, they've got guys like Aaron Francis from Essendon, Harry Morrison from Hawthorn, Peter Laddams, Taylor Adams coming back from injury, Sam Reed. Like, there was a lot of fairly big name AFL players. Oh, sorry, Hamish Morrison. Sorry, I thought it was Harry Morrison. Anyway, they
had, and a 209-centimetre ruck.
And a 209-centimetre ruck. Yeah, they often have those. And actually, it was nice to see that despite the Swans' overwhelming advantage in academy players, that their father-son guys in Kirk and Longmire are much more sort of VFL scrappers than that. Similar to our contingent of father-sons at the moment than the Nick Dacos's of the world.
Yeah, well, indeed. There is a Kellaway brother playing in... Kellaway son playing, Lewis Kellaway, 16. Yeah. We won't talk about him much because he's too young, but...
He's come up in a... He's been mentioned for the 2025 draft as a possible...
Anyway, going back to the game.
It was a fun game.
Yep.
The Swans had 17 more inside 50s, controlled the game early, but when we were good, we were very good. We'd play well as a team, and yeah, then I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, so McAuliffe, obviously the 30 disposals again, but yep, 8 tackles as well.
Yeah, wasn't quite as eye catching as last week, but that's almost an impossible standard. He was very good. Caleb Smith, 20 disposals this week. And he looks good. I wouldn't rush him. He's still coming back from a serious injury, but he's someone who can definitely play senior footy by the middle of the year if there's a spot.
So I didn't catch all the game. What kind of role was Caleb playing?
Definitely halfback wing type thing. Athletic, super athletic guy in space is his role.
Keep talking.
Yeah, well,
he
tested really well in his draft year. Like,
and he's hard as a cat's head as well.
Yeah, no, it's all of which is...
Yeah, I noticed the sort of amongst the serious Richmond VFL watchers, there's a bit of... Him and McAuliffe are the two ones that people are getting really high on.
Yeah. No. Well, and that's partly the there's only so many Richmond listed players in the team. Look, Sam Naismith was very good.
I was about to make a joke that I'm very excited about this young ruckman who had 2 goals, 19 disposals, and plenty of hit-outs against a 209-centimetre guy.
Mm.
Also 5 tackles. Look, I would be so excited by him if he was younger.
Both Coulthart and Steely Green were good without tearing the game apart, which was nice to see. And Samson, if you had to choose between Samson Ryan and Kosicki, two replace Lynch, Sampson definitely looked more threatening and was useful as a backup ruck as well.
Really tough. Sampson continues to be a wild ride. obviously four goals. I wish he'd had a couple more quiet days in between so I had time to forget what his preseason matches was in the first match of the season so I can get excited again. But the four goals, and I did watch the marks of the four goals to see whether, you know, were there any sort of towering key position ones, and yeah, kind of, but it was exciting. Kuzic, in fairness to him,
He worked hard. He was very industrious.
He did have seven marks.
Yeah. So, he was industrious, and he presented a lot.
So I would actually not be shocked if they played Cozzy to replace Lynch, just because of he's just stronger down the line and in the contest.
Mm.
And I don't think they need the second ruck at the moment because Bolter's doing it pretty well. But maybe you can make a case, right? So I was still a bit scarred from Sampson earlier in the year, so we'll see, but good on him. He's had a good game against Pinochet, now has backed that up with a four-goal performance. Oh, three-goal.
Pitney. Yeah.
Pitney. I said Pinochet.
Yeah.
The Chilean dictator.
Yeah, no. Not so good in the ruck. I've mentioned him very briefly before that I liked him in pre-season, but Liam George made his VFL debut and kicked a nice goal with his first kick, and yeah, looked up to the level.
He's getting quite a lot of online hype, like, you know, three posts on a thread, but people like him.
Yeah.
He's related to, who's he related to?
I don't think he's
I'm confused, because he's related to someone online, and, you know, they're saying what a nice bloke he is.
Yeah, well, he was a good under 18, good but not outstanding under-18s player. So sometimes you get a kid like Trezise, who's completely outside of the elite development pathway. Liam George was a good under-18s player last year, and I think he's Freeston Rangers. So, you know, he's, people in the system know who he is, and, you know, he was good but not great as a junior, but you know, you never know how these kids are going to develop. So, yeah, no, worth keeping an eye on.
I mean, the pipeline is there, right?
Yeah, and I do really like that. That's a point of emphasis. Is that we, you know, we try and give opportunities to kids so they can get themselves drafted.
Yeah, a bit more exciting than having sort of big name ex AFL guys in their late 20s.
Mm, yeah, definitely so.
I'm very comfortable with having guys like Lockie Street being our veteran veteran presence on the team. Look, they're a good team. We're not saying anything controversial here. They've won two good games.
Good team, fun to watch. Steve Morris, tick.
Yeah. Cumby, Hugo Rowsmith, say no more.
Struggling a bit, yeah.
St Kilda.
Yep. They managed to lose a game they should have won. Not by a ton, but, you know, they should have won it.
Yep. No, quite clearly. I think the expected shots was a 5-goal win, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, says he, looking it up.
Off the top of my head. Anyway, I'm playing good football.
One goal win. Actually, our game was interesting. It was almost completely exactly on expected score.
Yeah, it was a close game, but we were plus 7 in the inside 50s. We could have acknowledged that, but it's too much fun to.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it was a fun game.
I think
it was a fun game. We won.
when the game jumped, I think that's the biggest upset we've had since at least the Port game where everyone was out, and I suspect the odds were even closer for that. So that is probably our biggest upset since I don't know. It's been a long time. That was a very meritorious win. Anyway, getting back to St Kilda.
I think that Port Adelaide one you were talking about was a similar betting line.
Yeah, it was 440 by the time it jumped, so it's big underdogs anyway.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start with St Kilda? Aside from do we start anything other than we're absolutely terrified by a King twin?
Yeah, he does play well against us. As does Dan Butler, and annoyingly, Higgins has been in good form at the start of the year. So this does have the potential for an uncomfortable game.
He's currently their third rated player.
Yeah, that's painful. I think Windhager's out suspended, which is good. Although, how do you feel about Liam Baker's incident?
Yeah, I think he'll go.
Yeah, I think in a previous era he would have got away with it because there was sort of a bit no harm, no foul. But yeah, I'm worried about that one.
I think Bake's been slightly a centimetre taller and have a few more kilos, that could have been like a really serious incident because he did make jaw contact. I hate to say.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Jack Steele is in fine form.
Mm.
Wangalim Malira, I think, kind of Casey's one of the most exciting young... He's in the top 20 most exciting young players in the AFL.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a very nice distributor. It's a funny team when you look at it. It's sort of got a real mix of excitement and yet Riley Bonner... How do you get excited about that? Riley Bonner and Liam Stoker distributing the ball out of your back line? Like, I almost passed out from boredom halfway through that sentence.
Yeah, they seem to have beautifully maximised mediocrity. And Ross Lyon, the initial Ross Lyon bump will probably wear off at the end of this year after they're sort of sick of how combative and acerbic he can be. And maybe he's mellowed, but yeah, it does. Like, this is their year. This is really their year. They can push to finish sixth and win a final again. And that will be the maximum. Like, I guess Max King gives them upside potential, but yeah, but they are a competent team and they've won competent games.
Yeah. We're playing them over in it's Gather Round, so we're playing them over in South Australia, and so I have absolutely nothing useful to say about the size of the ground and whether or not it suits us or not, which is honestly a thing with St Kilda. I think we play, they obviously play Marvel better than we do versus the MCG. On the betting line, we're 257 betting line, which sort of says to me the bookies are seeing the ground as being pretty neutral.
Yeah, and look, it would have been closer, I think, had the Lynch injury not happened.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty random game, frankly.
Yeah.
That was a pretty exhausting emotionally and physically game for us, so we've won less days rest, so it might be hard to back up with such an elite effort again. But it'll be a smaller ground. The wind will probably play a factor.
I have no idea if it's a smaller ground. It certainly got smaller.
Oh, sorry, I meant
smaller stands. I meant,
yeah, that's what I meant.
It could well. Yeah,
it didn't make sense. But yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If there's any wind, we'll certainly notice the wind.
Yeah, which probably helpful for us, considering Matt...
Look, both teams are entirely capable of kicking very badly for goal.
They are actually statistically worse than we are.
It's a bit of a bit of a trade brand for them. The Nank versus Marshall's always a real battle.
Bit of a Spider-Man main game.
Yeah. I thought Nank had 47 hitouts last time we played them.
From memory, Marshall was coming back from an injury or something like that. Like, actually, they're not a great clearance team. That's not what worries me in the game. It's the ability of Max King to kick 2 to 3 extra goals that wouldn't have otherwise happened through inside 50 entries against any other team. And, like, who's going to play on him? Sorry to fixate on King, but...
Miller.
Yeah.
He's the...
I mean, Young got a few reps against his twin.
Yeah.
And the Gold Coast, so it's not...
Yeah, and I think he's...
I think your heavy sigh said it all.
Yeah, and Young's quicker. I don't know. Yeah, I don't love the matchup. Marshall's averaging over 20 disposals a game for his 3 games so far.
Yep, and he's great mark around the ground. He's been effective. But I have faith in
actually, is King injured? Because he didn't play this week. Or is he suspended? Sorry. This is just fantastic. Oh, yeah. No, he was... Oh, that's annoying. He was out suspended this week, but he's back next week. That's annoying.
Sorry. Yeah, I had looked up whether he was playing, and he is playing.
Yeah.
So,
they're not...
The thing is...
They're quite good at... Callum Wilkie's a very good intercept player as well. So, yeah, it is... and they've got some younger forwards. Philippou, I quite like. First round draft pick from last year, Darcy Williams in the team, although he's probably a bit away yet. They're always, I don't know. As you said, they've had the Ross Lyon sugar hit, which has helped restore competence. But it's hard to know where they are.
No, and it's hard to know where we are, right?
Mm.
You put the Port and Sydney game back to back, and they're almost different teams.
Yeah,
they look the same, the doppelgangers, but the way they played was so different. This is still an evolving Richmond team, but it's a game Richmond team. It's a fun Richmond team. Having 10 guys under 50 games, I think it was 10 guys under 35 games, actually, according to Rocco. It's still average age. We're above 25. We're actually average age older than the Swans, but we had a lot more inexperienced players, and that makes it fun to watch, if nothing else.
Yeah, I saw the incomparable Sir Swamp thing. So it was our first... they're all under 35 games, 10 under 35 games. The first win without any of... Cochin, Rewalt, Martin, since early 2008.
Yeah, it was quite the change in the guard. And all right, well, let's go on again, Nick. You called it well last week. What's the one fun thing you want to see from the game?
Oh, I came call off debut. Wait. Parents. His parents can drive down to. To see him, he's done everything that's asked of him. I'm not sure exactly who he replaces, but maybe it kind of doesn't matter. Let's just get him a game.
Okay, agreed. I almost wondered whether we held off his debut for this week. I mean, it seems like that's overly sentimental, but I did wonder.
Who knows?
He's probably one of the very few Richmond players who's played on this ground.
Unsentimental business, though, football. Oh, no, because we've got a few South Australians.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
Anyway, So just to pick the one thing I want I just if I could, another game like that from Morris Rioli Jr. would make my heart sing.
Yeah. Yeah, look, just young players improving and the team coming together. Right. You know, I mean, maybe that's a lot to ask, but no. More of the same, please. That was really fun. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.